Australia's racing heartland. This is the only program dedicated to Victorian country racing. Welcome to the Country Racing Show. It's got it all.
I can feel this day. I can see this day. It's got it all.
And g'day from JT on the long weekend, the Queen's Birthday long weekend, and welcome to the Country Racing Show. We're slap bang in the middle of Swan Hill's three big days. Great day of racing yesterday, the Topaz, which is almost the new market of the bush. We've got the middle day, and tomorrow the $100,000 Swan Hill Cup, and that is a cracking field, a big field. The winner might be a little hard to find, but we'll hopefully have some big V bets for you later on in the program, which will hopefully fill your coffers for this long weekend. Well, let's welcome into the program Maggie Payne. Hello, Maggie. How are you?
Great, thanks, JT. How are you?
I'm top of the world, mate. Darren Galley, always a pleasure to see you.
Yeah, great to be here. Thanks, John. Looking forward to a couple of cracking days at Swan Hill.
Okay, we'll get to that later and have a chat to Maddie Williams, who's pretty much a stalwart of going to Swan Hill. Can we use the term seasoned campaigner? Can I use that term?
I think you can.
I think you can, but now I'm pretty sure that his life would have changed a little now that he's got a young family in tow.
Yes, well, the sort of the late nights might have been sort of corralled a wee bit to a more earlier time to turn in. Okay, we'll get to that in a few moments' time, but let's go back to the week that was. We started off with a good card of racing last Saturday at Bendigo. The Elmore Cup was a rather interesting affair.
On the Country Racing Show, the Country Racing Week that was.
Certainly a very good quality race, actually, and unfortunately I have to say here that I didn't tip the winner. Mind you, having looked at the race, watched the race, coming down the home straight, I was convinced that I was in for a win, but unfortunately, this happened.
It's Summer Glen just in front. Gimme Strength on the outside is trying to wear it down. Summer Glen a length in front. Gimme Strength is slowly but surely getting there. Gimme Strength dived. Or might have got up in the last dry J-Mott, maybe. Gimme Strength or Summer Glen. It's a ripping finish to the O'Sullivan's Transport Elmore Cup.
Yeah, Give Me Strength, John. It was that bloody close, I can tell you. I think the official margin was a nose or something. So, yeah, Summer Glen did break away on the turn, and I thought I was home for a little nice little collect, but it did pay each way value, I think, about $2.50 a place. So we're going to claim that.
JT, he's always going with the each way value, but he's betting them. He's tipping them outright, so I don't know whether he can claim that. But,
no, you've got to say each way. And when they're $2.50 a place, yeah. One the win, two the place,
just trying to find some positive, Maggie.
You will need Gimme Strength. The winner, the overall winner that went on to win the Elmore Cup. So.
Hey, talking about Gimme Strength, how good is J-Mott riding at the moment? But that's nothing new, Maggie.
He is. He's. We've mentioned on the show numerous times before, it was a double on the day for him out at Bendigo, and he's second in the country premiership jockey's table behind Linda Meach. And it's amazing to think, being a tall and heavier jockey, how many wins he is getting for the season with limited races and definitely going down to the carnival and even riding over the jump. So. It's phenomenal.
Since he's been doing the jumps racing, that his form has really improved. Maybe that's more consistent riding for him has actually helped with his form on the flat as well, because he has been phenomenal the last 12 or so months in particular.
He has. And another jumps jockey that's going phenomenal on the flat is Clayton Douglas, obviously winning the Briley and the Grand Annual with gold medals. But he's been having a great last week or last season with just on the flat riding as well. So.
Well, they're fit lads, aren't they? You have a look at Johnny Allen. His work ethic and workload is just phenomenal, but it's just the strength of these guys. If they're riding over distances and over jumps, they've just got that strength, haven't they? And that ability with the equine. Hey, talking about jockeys, we've got a WA jockey, Daniel Stake, a very good rider over there. I see he's in this part of the world now.
He is, and he started it off well at out at Bendigo on Elmore Cup Day with a double. So, and a couple outright not favourites. And with, I know the first one with Graham Beggs, it was about $7.90. So he's here for around 6 months, I think it is, and coming over from the west, and a bit of a relation to Fred Kersley, young Fred Kersley, who's flying at the moment. So good luck to Daniel.
Training honours on Elmore Cup Day, guys?
Well, that was spread across the day. Where for the first time in quite some time, we had each individual race won by different trainers. So nice to see them, the spoils shared across the training ranks for the day.
Sunday, we had a solo meeting at Ballarat.
Yeah, this is all about your time here, John. This is your time to shine. So perhaps we go straight into the replay, because you told me we had to put this in the run sheet. So please Go ahead.
Bold Approach still moving along pretty well. Led two lengths over Tonteria. Caprizi getting a run through, as is Tarinda. Trembling deeper from Flying Spark. Bold Approach just, but here's Tarinda and Trembling moving up together with 100 to go, and Tarinda's the one with the better momentum. Tarinda swept to the lead and dashed away from Trembling. Tarinda first, a length and a half to Trembling.
That's all we need to say. No, the horse is in good form. Robbie Griffiths has got this horse wound up really nicely. I'm a massive fan of D-Lane. Massive fan.
Yeah, well, it's probably a good result, because you were distracted for the entire of last week's show looking at the form for that tip. So, good result. Well done. Well played. But
you've got the webcam working in here or something.
But it's pretty easy when you just tip the favourites all the time, isn't it?
Oh, it paid. Hang on. Yeah, it paid $4, did it? Oh, please.
I need to take a leaf out of
JT's. I'm trying anyway just to downplay it if I can, John. All right?
But it was a really good win. JT, I'll pay you that one. But as you said, with Damien Lane on board, it just powered away from Trembling, so it was a good win in the end.
How did Rap with Gold Tooth go?
Another runner-up, another bridesmaid. So it ran well, but it couldn't get over the line.
Prayer Eclipse beat off Joan Constance, but Rat with Gold Tooth is now the emerging threat with 200 to go. Prayer Eclipse is fighting on pretty well. Rat with Gold Tooth hasn't quite got there yet, courting Verity in third. It's Prayer Eclipse from Rat with Gold Tooth, then courting Verity. Prayer Eclipse continues to dig deep, holds off the favourite, and Prayer Eclipse won it from Rat with Gold Tooth.
Pretty good training effort. Was that its first start in over a year and a bit?
Certainly his first win in over a year and a bit. So Maggie's been able to find a way to get a horse from no form into winning form. So well done, Maggie.
There's nothing new there, Darren. But no, it was Pre-Eclipse was way too good on the day for Rat with Gold Tooth and ended up winning by, I reckon, a 1.5 length. So, yeah, good win.
Rap with Gold Tooth is certainly a consistent horse. That horse's day will come again soon. On Monday, we're off to Wangaratta Winter Racing, but they had a big 10-race card, guys.
Yeah, busy day at Wang. It's a nice part of the world to be racing at this time of year. It was great to see, or great to hear, an old voice back. Matty Jones, who had been calling in Melbourne for quite some time, spent about a decade away overseas calling, and came back a bigger, better, stronger caller, and had a good day. But also a great day for one of our guests last week, Chelsea McFarlane, who found a great winner for us.
Did you see that?
As they come around the home turn, and Liberty Song with a bit of a kick here. Let out from Wasabi. She's nicking off down the outside. We've got Frankly Hardy running on fairly well, but Liberty Song is the one to catch here. Running down with about a furlong to go. Liberty Song for Chelsea McFarlane. Well clear. Out of the pack, Indian Wolf making some ground with She's Nicking Off, but they're not got a hope of catching Liberty Song, who bolts in. Liberty Song by about 3.5. Indian Wolf goes into second.
Yeah, very nice win there for Liberty Song, and as Matt said, kicked right away and on the turn, and was very hard to sort of even get close to within 3 lengths. A new addition to the Dan McCarthy stable, come across from John Maloney, was gelded and spelled, so that was third up at Wang, and say, look, the winner on the turn, and actually just kicked right away and actually won very impressively.
It did. There was no catching Chelsea on the day, and she had a double for the day, and it's nice to have her. It's refreshing to have a new caller and a new sound that you hear when you switch on the TV, and I think he had his work cut out for him in the first race when it was narrowest of margins down to a photo finish, which makes it always a bit difficult, but yeah, good to hear Matt Jones out at Wang on Monday.
Absolutely, and they certainly didn't miss him with just the lazy 10 to get through on his first day. Chris Parnham also landed a double, and he is riding in sensational form since another sand groper coming across the Nullarbor. Tuesday, we're off to Warrnambool. Love Jump Racing, and they had, four or five on the books?
Yeah, dominated the day with the first 5 races on the day being over the jumps, and good to see in the very first race of the day is Olive Arthur, who was quite competitive down at the Bull during the carnival, ran 5th in the Grand Annual, had a little freshen up and came back to win first up on this race over about the 3250 metres, so a good day there for Olive Arthur, and also a good day for the Horners. I don't know if they're brothers or related in any way, but certainly for Lee and Daryl Horner, both riding a doubler between them across the jumps races. And then, as Maggie touched on before, young Clayton Douglas is actually just flying. He actually won the Grand Annual last month on gold medals, and they actually rode a double with Epsom Hill and Corfu Rotti for John McArdle. So good day for Clayton.
Yeah, I'm not sure what the round trip is from Euroa to Warrnambool, but it was good to see Clayton Douglas get the win with Epsom Hill for the Hayes team. So it obviously made the trip worthwhile for them. But no, it's great to see racing back at Warrnambool since the carnival, and those jumps races definitely add a bit of excitement into the day.
They certainly do. They're great spectacles, and Warrnambool is such a fantastic theatre for jump racing guys. Country Premiership. So how did the title contenders go during the week?
Look, I think Lyndon Meech and Jamie Mott, as we've touched on the last few weeks, have ridden winners regularly throughout the week. And Lyndon has, as he skipped away a bit now 12 clear of Jamie. I say we've got about, 6 or 7 weeks to go of the premiership title to go. But they're well clear then. Damien Thornton now on 79. So Lyndon on 92, Jamie Mott on 80 wins for the season, Damien Thornton on 79, and then back to Dean Yendall, who has won the last 7. So Dean won't be getting the prize this year, but certainly between Lyndon Meech will be hard to beat, and then Jamie Mott. And then the apprentice title, Maggie?
It is. It's a bit closer, the apprentice title, with Benny Allen sitting on top with the 40 wins, and Lockie King, who's had a really outstanding season with those couple of Metro wins. But they don't count towards the country premiership. Of course, he's sitting behind on two from Ben Allen on 38. And then Michael Poy and Talia Hope, who's been out injured the last month. But it's great to see it nice and neat and even, but good to see some young riders who are fighting it out to the end.
Absolutely, and Lyndon Meech's strike rate is just simply phenomenal. It's 19%. 19%. That is just absolute target shooting, isn't it?
Yeah.
No racing on Wednesday, of course. We had City racing at Sandown, but Thursday we were off to Ballarat.
Yeah, the Seymour transfer meeting to Ballarat. So busy day there with Darren Weir very much in the placings again. So that rounded out almost the week before we get stuck into Swan Hill.
And, of course, the Topaz was run and won yesterday. You are tuned to the Country Racing Show here on RSN 927. We'll take a short break, guys, and then we're going to spin a yarn with Maddie Williams, who I'm sure is already entrenched up at Swan Hill.
From the stables to the tracks, Victoria's own country racing show. The people at the grassroots of racing. We're spinning a yarn on the Country Racing Show.
On the long weekend edition, of course, all roads leading to Swan Hill for the Cup tomorrow, and our spinning a yarn guests, Maggie and Darren, will be heading to Swan Hill. One of the great blokes of country racing, Maddie Williams, joins us for spinning a yarn this weekend. How are you, Matty?
Yeah, I'm very well, thanks.
How's the team going, buddy?
Yeah, ticking along okay. Picking up a race here and there. Always, want to see them up the ante a little bit and get to town and win a few more. But anyway, we're doing our best.
G'day, Matt. Before we get into this weekend's racing, can you skip back and tell us a bit about how you got into racing 20-plus years ago?
Yeah, for me it was... started Pony Club, Warrnambool Pony Club, doing a bit of eventing and stuff like that, and then riding a bit of track work for Jocko Bailey. He was a local trainer there in Warrnambool, and it was more, for a bit of pocket money, that side of things, and because you could ride a horse, so, always looking for someone who could jump on one down the beach or trot and canter a horse, and then started doing some gallops and sort of got that side of the adrenaline side of galloping a horse. And doing a few jump outs, that sort of thing. And I actually went down a fitting and turning apprenticeship path then, so I kept riding a bit of track work whilst I was doing my apprenticeship. And literally the day I finished my apprenticeship, I had a pre-trainer's licence to start with. And I thought, well, I'll give the horses a go now, and if it doesn't work out, I'll go back to fitting and turning. But, horses were probably always, my hobby or my sport. So I thought, well, if I can make a career out of this, it's going to be a lot more enjoyable than probably, doing something that I liked, but probably didn't jump out of bed to go, welding and things like that. But it was a great background for me, being able to then build some stables and build our own walker and things like that, so we sort of could get ourselves started that way.
Yeah, and obviously based down at Warrnambool, Matt, you, along with a lot of great trainers, you've got the benefit of the beach there. And when we were down there for the launch, we saw you brought a big truck of your horses there. How big of a benefit is it to you and the fellow trainers?
Yeah, look, it's the main thing for Warrnambool, having that use of the Warrnambool beach, the Lady Bay there. We take 16 to 2 truckloads down each morning. and you know, just great for the recovery of horses after they've raced or galloped or trialled, to have them sort of bouncing back the next day in good health and keeping them sound and well. As you know, we do tend to attract a lot of horses which maybe have been at metropolitan stables that aren't maybe correct and got some soundness issues, and then you know that the beach is something that you are able to then keep a lot of horses up to racing with those saltwater benefits.
Now you've got about 40 odd horses in work. Is that the sort of number you're happy to keep at, or do you think in years to come you might look to sort of grow the size of the stable?
No, definitely don't want to grow. I'd like to grow the quality. But, yeah, look, we've got, four kids, 11 and under. So, around that 40 is enough for me. Plus, we have about a dozen horses for Kieran Maher, that horses that aren't suited to being trained at Caulfield or need the beach, unsound horses. So, we do his Warrnambool team from our base at home. So we're sort of working, you know, between 50 and 55 most of the time, and that's plenty for us.
So no, obviously, ambition, like, as you say, with Kieran Maher moving to Melbourne, do you always want to stay at Warrnambool as your base?
I do, yeah. We've invested a lot of money in our property. We've got, you know, water walkers and swimming pools, walkers, treadmills, and got a great little home track now, which is quite a heavy sand, and I just don't think the Melbourne side of things would suit me, or I'll probably especially bringing up a family, happy to bring them up in the country.
Minus the traffic that we have here in Melbourne, Matty. Where you are down at Warrnambool, I think it offers a magnificent opportunity to keep the horse fresh with different environments and different things they can do.
Definitely, we've got 22 day paddocks, which horses pair up and go out during the day. So they're only boxed at night, and they're out in a little sort of acre paddock during the day. And we've got a spelling farm with 90 acres over the road where we spell our own horses, and you know, we can whip a horse over there just for a week to get it completely away from the training side and just to mix things up a little bit. So certainly them older horses which are developed and sound, with the beach, and we're hopeful that we get the sand dunes back in the next month or so. That's looking pretty positive there, so that'll be a big asset as well to get that back.
Now, Matt, you mentioned you have a young family and 40 of the equine kind, so children that is, but and we see them in a lot in your post-race interviews on one of your hips, but are they showing any interest into the horses and what Dad does?
Our pony wing has also grown and taken over one little corner of the farm, so they've all got a pony each, and the girls especially, the young fella Braden, he's quite a good little rider but he's probably more into the football side of things at the moment. But the girls are certainly, but two of them at Pony Club, and the little 3-year-old, she won't be too far away. She'll be wanting to get there as well on her little pony.
Now, being a good family man, Matt, you'd be on your best behaviour for a few days away from the family, perhaps at Swan Hill?
Yeah, it's not what it used to be, I can say. We've landed up there today and I'm selling a caravan and just set that up. So we just got out to the Murray Downs golf course to have a little bit of a hit of golf. So, it's a bit quieter than what it used to be. But, no complaints there. Happy to have them up here and enjoy a bit of family time.
Now, going into the carnival, you've got quite a few runners nommed across all 3 days. What do you think is your best chance, and particularly Al Pitino in the cup itself?
Yeah, Albertino, he was good in Adelaide the other day. He's always improved a lot off his first up run, and his first up run was a little bit plain at Warrnambool. But until he gets to that sort of mile and gets hard fit, he just at the 1400, they're just a bit sharp for him and probably have him at his top the whole way. I thought the other day he was just a little bit slow out of the gates in Adelaide, and Justin had to give him a little dig to be forward on him. And it just probably got him over racing for about a furlong. He was getting his head up and just didn't quite settle. So hoping he begins better on Sunday and can just do things a little bit easier in the first half of the race. It'll obviously be a step up there for him on Sunday from the Adelaide run. But in saying that, I think the winner of that Adelaide race, Will Clarkin's horse, is going terrific at the moment. That Tatush would be probably one of the main ones to beat. And he just needs to get get the race run to suit for him, and you know, he'd be a top three chance there if he could get that.
He's certainly got the informed jockey on board with Damien Thornton, isn't he? Flying at the moment.
He's been riding terrific since. Well, look, to be honest, he rode terrific before he went to Adelaide. He just probably, through a lack of opportunity, just didn't get, you know, the rides that he's getting now. And since he's come back from Adelaide, he's getting on some better horses, and he's certainly making the most of all his opportunities there.
Hey, Matty, thanks for being on the Country Racing Show this week on Spinning a Yarn. Good luck across the carnival at Swan Hill, and I hope Albertino follows up that run in Adelaide and brings home the bacon on Sunday. Have a good weekend.
No worries, guys. It's a terrific carnival, and anyone that hasn't been up here wants to do so. We're about our 8th or 9th year now. We've been fortunate to, I think, have a winner most of those years, and we thoroughly enjoy ourselves up here. So good luck.
Here's what's coming up in the country calendar on the road ahead.
All right, guys, I think I can start the ball rolling. We're at Swan Hill today.
We are indeed, with today being the Saturday family race day. So all the families there, plenty of kids' activities on course. And they actually will be running the Quambatook Cup today. Quambatook, a small community not far from Swan Hill, used to have its own race day on its own, but have moved it into this carnival now to have a feature race on this Saturday. Over the mile for fillies and mare, worth $20,000, so a quality race there. And then, of course, Sunday, the big doubleheader, John, with a great race meeting at Swan Hill with what I think is a fantastic initiative with the club. We've been doing it for quite a few years now with the Drought Breaker. I think the Hotham at Ballarat a few months ago may have stolen the limelight in terms of a race designed for horses that have had no wins over a period of time. But the Drought Breaker has been going for a number of years over the mile. I think that's a $20,000, $30,000 race as well. And then the Swan Hill Cup worth $100,000 over the mile, which has got a cracking lineup of horses actually take part this year. Might be hard to keep the cup back in Victoria, I think. I think a lot of South Australian visitors might steal the cup away from us.
Yeah, they'll certainly try on the stake money, $100,000. How the ticket sales gone for you? For your cup tomorrow?
In fact, the whole 3 days have been fantastic. I think about 1,500 pre-sales so far for Cup Day, just in GAs alone. And I think packages have been sold out now for some time. But certainly, if you want to get there for what should be a great weather day as well, some great racing, some great entertainment, I think you can get yourself to the gate for about $15 to get in for the general admission price. And there'll still be some hospitality you can probably find on the day. And, of course, we'll have a couple of nice days up there, Maggie.
We were looking forward to it.
Good luck to all the team at Swan Hill. I hope your cup day goes so well tomorrow for you guys. Also tomorrow, Apsley race at Edenhope.
Yeah, this is their once-a-year race. So they do race at the Edenhope Racecourse. So Apsley Racing Club, arguably the oldest racing club and race meeting in Victoria, if not Australia. This is Cup number 163, so that certainly outlives the Melbourne Cup, which is about 158, I think, at the stage. So the DiGiorgio Family Wines, Apsley Cup, been going a major sponsor there for many years. They always have a theme as part of their fashions. They have a huge lineup of activities. Again, 10 enormous races. So I think the biggest fields I've seen in my time at country racing, 145 acceptors across the 10 races. So big lineups across all 10 races. So a long day of racing there for the team at Apsley. So wish them luck for a great day and a really good community spirit.
And a good idea to race on the Sunday too, guys. I think you'll get a really big crowd for your big day at Edenhope. There's no racing on Monday, Queen's birthday. There is a Mornington meeting. What about Tuesday, Maggie?
Tuesday, we're off to Pakenham for the Probus Victoria Friendship Race Day. So it'll be a great day out at Pakenham. And then on Wednesday, we've got another day off. So Thursday.
No. You can't have 2 days off.
Well, it is a long weekend, so we've got to get back from Swan Hill, JT. So we're just easing back into the week.
Fair enough.
Keep on going from Pakenham. We're going a bit further. Thursday, we're racing at Sale. And to finish the week, we're back at Geelong for the Newtown and Chewell Football Club Fundraising Day.
And lots of winter racing as we get towards the shortest day of the year. All right, let's make some money this long weekend.
Panning for punting gold this weekend. The Country Racing Show loads up with Victoria's best bet.
All right, who's starting the ball? rolling.
We'll let the bridesmaid, perennial bridesmaid, go first.
That's a horrible thing to say.
Well, hopefully for Will Clarkin's sake, I'm not a bridesmaid this weekend, but I'm heading to the Swan Hill Cup and looking forward to, as Darren mentioned before, a class field. It went over to the border last year with Victory Downs winning it, so I'm predicting it goes back again. So race 8, number 8, Tatush, Will Clarkin and Jamie Carr on board. Not sure whether it will be a short price favourite, but I'll take it, and I think it'll be too good coming off a good win at Adelaide.
It just shows you how these jocks work. Jamie Carr will ride in Doomben today as part of the straight breaks. Got to get down to 51.5 kilos, I think it is. Get back to Adelaide potentially, then up to Swan Hill to ride on Cup Day at Swan Hill. So great reward if she can snag the two-state double.
Darren.
John, I'm going to go to Apsley. So Apsley Cup on Sunday. Race 8, number 8. Barry the Baptist. He beat a very good horse home last start that will win at Flemington today. Barry stays at the...
Well, hang on, you said a horse will win at Flemington today. I know we tip in the country, but you can't leave the listeners just dangling about a horse that's going to win at Flemington.
Well, Barry the Baptist beat Big Bad Baz last start, and Baz was probably a bit unlucky not to just get there. He's going to get there, and Barry just popped his head up the last minute at Warwicknabeal. But anyway, Barry goes on. So he'll state the 2,000 metres from last start at Warwicknabeal. Unbelievably, Barry drops 5 kilos on that win. So obviously a tougher race for Barry, but he's in good form. I think we'll stay with Barry and just pray that he gets the job done for me.
I'm with you, Maggie. I think Tatush will win the cup tomorrow. It was a really good win in Adelaide.
You can't do that, John. You've got to find your own winner.
No, I'm not jumping up. I'm sharing the love.
You share the winnings.
Share the winnings. No, it was a good win in beating Albertino, who ran third. Only little niggle is just a bit of a sticky gate number 12, but it's a big field, bit of pace on, so I think this horse is pretty much in the zone. I like Clarkin as a trainer, and Jamie Carr as a jockey is just an absolute gun. So I'm with you, Maggie. Put a ring around Tatush, race 8, number 8. Give it strength. Hey, guys, that is our show. You enjoy Swan Hill.
Thanks, mate. Appreciate it.
Hopefully the weather's fine. And the great man is back with you, Michael Felgate. He'll be tan next week. He'll tell you all about Bali. He's joining you next week on the Country Racing Show. You have a good weekend, guys.
Thanks, John.
Thanks, JT.
The people who love thoroughbred racing from around Victoria. The Country Racing Show. It's got it all. I can feel this day.